The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tubb Studio. It is the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is Friday, December 27th, as we are barreling our way towards 2025. The guys are off. We'll not be back until next Thursday, as a matter of fact, when we get into 2025. So for another day, you've got myself, you've got CeeLo, we've got Rami on the board today, we've got Fliegelman and Pat Boyle. We'll be back middle of the hour with the reports and the updates and all the sound from across sports, and we've got lots to get to. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, man. Feel good Friday, yes?
I would say so. Today? Feel good Friday, football Friday, fun Friday. Call it what you want.
All
it's a Friday.
That. It's a Friday. We're here. We're ready to go.
And really, it's crazy to think, well, it's not crazy, but, you know, New Year's coming up. We've only got to withstand two more football Fridays for the Jets and the Giants before we can thankfully get to the offseason. And, you know, there were a number of different ways we could have gone this morning. But, you know, when I look at a football Friday on this radio station and what it's meant over the years, I think back to all the years of listening to Mike and the Mad Dog and, you know, where in the league where they pay to play for pay and all that stuff and the picks and, you know, how they would just do hours and hours on the Jets and the Giants. I'm driving in thinking we just have had nothing with these two teams for so long. And, you know, the Jets obviously gave us some excitement with Aaron Rodgers trading for him last year, which obviously went out to shoot very quickly. Yeah. And it made me just think about what do you do finally to correct the stink of these two programs. And you can say, well, the Jets are going to hire a new GM and coach. Okay, well, they've done that numerous times.
Yes.
Well, the Giants are going to draft another quarterback, a quarterback now, and try and find their guy since Eli Manning. And Eli wasn't great his last few years. And, well, they did that with Daniel Jones. And so it always comes back to the same phrase. Got to get it right this time. But do they? Like, do they really have to get it right this time? Will they get it right is probably the better question.
Yeah, exactly. Do they? No. Like, the franchise isn't going to fold up and cease to exist if they have another swing and miss. Will they? Is impossible to know. I mean, that's kind of where I stand on things, and people be critical and give me a hard time. You make such a big stink about it doesn't always pay to have the first or second overall pick with the quarterbacks, and there's no guarantees because it's the reality of the situation. But if you're put into that spot, as unfortunate as it is, which is where the Giants are heading right now, they have no choice but to take the swing. And I don't even necessarily think it matters who the head coach or the GM is when you're picking at the top and you need a quarterback, and especially in this particular season. When I say it doesn't matter, because it's one of two guys. So is there really that much of a difference between these two prospects? I suppose there is. We talked to Bob Wischusen last week, and he came away from talking to him, and he's watched Cam Ward up close and personal where he hasn't with Shedeur Sanders. He sounded a little higher on what Cam Ward brings to the table. You listen to Pat Shurmur, who's the Colorado offensive coordinator yesterday, and he basically basically makes it sound like it's a guarantee that both Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are going to come to the next level and be completely dominant. Now, of course, he's biased. Those are his players. He's been around them the last couple of years. But look, we're going to enter that. It's funny you say, let's hurry up and get to the offseason for these two teams. And now we're going to head into this period of a couple of months now where it's going to be all the analysts and the talking heads and the scouts and the prospect people and the people that break down the film and the draft gurus and experts. And everyone's going to have opinions and takes and this guy's can't miss, and we know that there's no such thing as a can't miss. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes, it becomes very frustrating. And that comes back to, you put yourself into this position. The Giants have played awful football on the field, and this is the result, and this is what they have left to deal with. Now, is it going to be Brian Daboll and Joe Shane? I don't know. Is John Mara going to feel comfortable with either of these two prospects as the guys that are going to lead this franchise forward? It's impossible to say that either at this point in time. But at least there is some hope at the end of the road, because what we've seen the last couple of seasons with the Giants, as you pointed out, they've given us next to nothing to feel good about. So if nothing else, once we do get to the draft, if the Giants are picking one or two and they get their hands on one of these quarterbacks, it's something to look forward to leading into next year. Once we get to week one, that almost goes right out the window, and then it's time to put up or shut up.
No, there's no question. And I think, you know, the Shane and Daboll conversation, which has gone on now for a couple of months, I think will continue, but will be put to bed within a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Because usually if a team makes a change with their head coach or their GM, it comes on that Monday or clearly in the first days after the season ends.
Sure.
So by this time in a couple of weeks, we will know what direction they're going. You know, I've been back and forth on this in terms of what I think they will do. And as I sit here today, for whatever reason, I kind of feel like they're gonna stay pat with their coach and their GM and give them the opportunity to draft their guy. Now, with the number one pick, assuming that's what they end up with, and they don't win one of these last two games, and they don't fall into the mix of all these other teams, you know, I think there's only two things they can do. You can't, you know, if you think that the best player available is not Sanders and is not Ward, I don't think you can make that pick. I really don't. I think if you're the Giants, you've got two options here. You either go with what makes sense, and that's either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, or you trade that pick for a haul, and I mean a monster haul, something like we haven't seen since the Herschel Walker Cowboys trade.
Well, I mean, maybe not to that extent, but we did see the Bears trade out of the pick when the Panthers Bryce Young. And they came away with a haul and ultimately landed Caleb Williams. And they've got their issues and things to deal with, as we saw again last night. I know we'll get to that. So, I mean, it does happen, but it's then what do you turn those picks into? And what are you surrounding them with? Coaching staff, philosophy, offensive system, all of that. Yeah, I suppose that's a route they could go. But if in your scenario, if they bring back Shane and Dave and we say, let's give them a chance to get their
guy. It's got to be a quarterback.
Right. It has to be.
Oh,
there.
I agree.
Can't bring those guys back and then say, you know, we're going to pass at the top
Correct.
Of the draft on these guys and we're going to bring in some mercenary or, you know, journeyman or some cast off from another team.
No, they have to draft a quarterback,
yeah.
100%. And to be quite clear, I believe that they will stay where they're at. And I do think that they will take, I don't think they'll get cute. I think they will take one of these guys. And it's funny you bring up Pat Shurmur because I saw the same thing you did.
Yeah.
And I watched the 2 or 3 minute clip that was posted yesterday as well. And he couldn't, and I know, you're right, he is biased because he's worked with him. But that's also the thing that's intriguing, is that he's not just watching from afar. He has worked with him. He has seen the work that he has put in. And the one thing I would say, I know Deion is, I love Deion as a player. I did. I loved him. I didn't love him so much with the Kamehameha with Washington or with San Francisco. But when he was with the Cowboys, I did enjoy watching him. And I love his personality. And I love the way he runs a team. Did you see any of the clips when he was talking to the team about respecting the hotel?
I sure did.
And that
threw him in the morning show folder for our guy Pat Boyle play for us.
That came out, I think it was Wednesday. If Pat was paying attention, he would have had him yesterday. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm joking. I saw it only this morning myself.
I'm just joking. It was Wednesday when he had this conversation with his team. And it was essentially, if there's any scent of weed is what he was talking about, it will be the last puff you ever take. And Pat will have the audio coming up. But I feel like he has tried to shape these guys in a way that is good for them. And I think Shedeur Sanders, he's got the pedigree of what his dad was. He has been great at that level. And I think if he comes here with Shane and Daboll, I actually, I think it might work. And we've seen it in Washington. We've seen it in some places work. I don't love the fact that they play right away, but I think it really could work here.
And look, you'd like to believe that with the combination of Deion and then on the offensive side, we talk about Pat Shurmur. And I get it. His name doesn't hold a lot here in this town because of what he did as Giants head coach. But from an offensive perspective, coordinator, quarterback play, we go back to that Daniel Jones rookie year.
Sure.
And I mean, yes, there were turnovers and issues, but he had him pushing the ball down the field. He had some of his biggest statistical games that rookie year with Pat Shurmur as the head coach slash play caller offensively. So from that standpoint, you know, sometimes at these college programs, you don't have the guy that comes out and really has the pro polish because maybe the system they're running, the coordinator they're working with doesn't have that experience. At Colorado, it's unique because of Deion's background and because of Pat Shurmur's background now, really at both levels, but it's a guy that's had some success in the NFL. So yes, of course, he's going to say great things about his players, guys he's worked with, but he went even beyond that. And to some extent, you're kind of putting your reputation on the line if you're going to say, hey, these guys are going to go and dominate at the next level. Like, I mean, it's his field. It's his area of expertise. And not that he's going to lose his job because he made some sort of incorrect prediction. But I don't remember him being a guy here in New York. He was pretty boring when he spoke to the media. You didn't get a lot out of him. So I thought, I did think it was interesting that he went to those lengths in assessing both of those players.
He was more the type that talked down to us.
Yeah.
He knew more football than we did. And yes, he wanted to make sure that that we knew it. That's kind of the way he 100%. Talked to us. I also like the dynamic. If indeed this is the direction the Giants go in, the whole Sanders to Malik Nabers, that thing seems to be something that is a very real possibility and could be really special for a long time to come.
Yeah, and Nabers, I know, spoke yesterday, and I thought had some good polished things to say about kind of looking forward, looking ahead. Group of young players they have, the rookie class, you know, frustration of the fan base, knowing that they didn't exactly give them much to be excited about. So, I mean, look, you want to believe he's going to be a big piece of the future. And certainly if you can get a young quarterback in here that he can grow with and that can offer some more production or consistency. And look, anytime you bring in a young rookie like that and you're going to play him either at the outset of his rookie year or shortly thereafter, we know there's going to be growing pains, and it's not going to just all click right away. I guess there's exceptions to that rule every now and then. C.J. Stroud last year, Jaden Daniels this year have mostly had success. I just feel like it's different in this market for whatever reason. So
well,
maybe,
we don't patience.
Maybe we don't. So maybe Shador, coming from where he comes from, his father, the fact that he's been exposed to a lot of the hype and the media attention helps in that way. I don't know enough about the individual, obviously, to know that for sure. But you can start to at least feel, like I said at the outset here, hopeful or somewhat cautiously excited or optimistic about that combination. The young quarterback on the rise and what Malik Nabers has already shown at this level and what you believe he can show moving forward in this league.
Now, clearly the numbers say what they say. The Giants have been atrocious. I mean, just awful.
Historically atrocious.
There's not enough bad adjectives to throw at them. And Brian Daboll is the face of it. He is the head coach. And so, like, I've done numerous 5 to 6 hours with Owl. He will always point to, why should he come back? He's been so, and he's not wrong when you look at the numbers. I totally agree. But I would ask you, just like the eye test, do you think Brian Daboll can coach?
I do.
So do I. And
what evidence do I have in the last 2 years to point to that? Not much.
I agree, yet I still feel like there's something to be said about feeling like he's still the right guy and having some sort of consistency and stopping with the constant turnover and change in that one spot. Now, I'm not saying he gets a lifetime pass, but I would in this case give him the one opportunity to get his own guy in and see what they can actually do in that scenario.
And I think this is the part that I'm clinging to. And again, it could turn out to be absolutely dead wrong because we're not behind the scenes and we don't have a feel for what he's doing behind closed doors with his team. But, you know, we go back to the season of success, his first year, what he did with Daniel Jones, then winning the playoff game on the road, right? And we thought, okay, here comes, you know, Josh Allen 2.0, or maybe not to that level, but that was what he was brought here with, that reputation of what he did in Buffalo. And now all of a sudden, right out of the gate, he takes this quarterback with all of this upside and physical ability, and he turns it into something productive. Now, what happened after that is Daniel obviously wasn't able to stay healthy.
Correct.
They had all kinds of offensive line issues, and it has just gone completely down the drain. So from that standpoint, you said, well, it's his job to coach up the team or to work around that, so on and so forth. But I think he was dealing with not just Daniel Jones, but a quarterback room that was amongst the worst in the league as far as broken from, okay, the starter has all kinds of, he's got injury issues, and it's trickled down, and Boomer said it all the time, he's a guy that's just not cutting it loose, right? Not trusting his eyes or not seeing things in the pocket, letting it happen. And then the options behind him obviously have their flaws and shortcomings. You know, Tommy DeVito was a fun story for a little while. I never quite understood why they brought Drew Lock in here to begin with, and I think what we've seen out on the field the last couple of weeks of him explains why that's the case. So, you know, in a league where quarterback play is almost everything, they've had three guys run out there now in the last couple of seasons that you watch them play and it's like, it's just not
this
a lot
what
going
they
on
had.
Here. So does the coach share some responsibility in that? Sure. But like you said, and everyone else has said, the opportunity to really start fresh with their own guy from the bottom, from the bottom level, and build them up and do it the way that they want to do it, I do tend to believe that they should get that opportunity at least once here, even though it's gone historically bad these last couple of seasons.
And beyond that, if not Dable, then who? And you want to tell me Ben Johnson? Okay, I mean, Ben Johnson, if you read between the lines, if he's not staying in Detroit, Chicago is certainly out there. We saw the way he reacted to that the other day. I guess he would be a guy you would go after, but then who else?
They can go after him. It's hard to say what appeals to him right now, and he has all the leverage, so he's going to have his pick of the litter. He's going to have his options. So if you want to tell me, hey, Giants are attractive because they've got the number one overall pick, if he loves one of these two quarterbacks more so than Caleb Williams in Chicago, I suppose from that standpoint, it becomes appealing for him. But I very much could see him just staying in Detroit another year if he doesn't like all, not just about, okay, well, who's the quarterback, but also, you know, what kind of market am I going into? What's ownership like? The fan base, media. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider, and especially when, you know, a lot of these young coordinators, they take that first job and it crashes and burns, and then they have to wait a long time to get that next opportunity. So look, some guys are in a position where they don't have that leverage and they've got to take the shot, and we've seen that time and time again. But I feel like he's got the best of both worlds right now, in that I don't know that he's going to be in a rush to leave there just for the sake of taking a head coaching job just because it's available.
It's really interesting when you think about these two teams, the Giants and the Jets. For the Giants, it does feel like at least we have an idea of what they need to do to get better. And it starts with that number one draft pick, assuming they get it. And I also, I'm going on the assumption that Dable is back as the head coach. So that piece is in place. I can look at if they draft the quarterback. Now you've got what you hope to be the face of the franchise for the next 9, 10, 12 years if they hit on the right guy. You know, you feel like you've got the centerpiece on the line with Andrew Thomas. You feel like Malik Nabers could be a really outstanding wide receiver, if not a great wide receiver. Defensively, they've got pieces for sure. They need help. But at least I feel like there's a little bit of a blueprint for what they need to do. Can they execute it? I don't know. But at least I feel like there's an idea. The Jets, to me, feel like a complete and utter puzzle of 1,000 pieces that I have no idea which one goes where, and it starts with the owner all the way down to the players and everybody in between.
I agree, but a part of me, though, sort of expected that if this crashed and burned, which it has, because we said all along, hey, they're pushing all their chips to the center of the table, they're going all in on Rodgers, it's, you know, short window, one, maybe two seasons of taking a crack, taking a shot, taking a run at it, and then they're going to have to answer for that on the back end. And for Joe Douglas, it made sense, because if they didn't win, he was going to be out of a job anyway, which is now where we're at, obviously. Same goes for Robert Saleh. They have some pieces and some talent, which we've discussed, which is what made it so perplexing that they had as bad a year as they did. But I think when you mix in the stuff off the field, it makes it even more of a puzzle. But that, unfortunately, has been the MO for this franchise for the better part of 15, 20 years now. And it absolutely starts at the top. When I say 15 or 20 years, I mean, obviously it dates back to, you know, their lone Super Bowl win. But I'm talking since we came out of the early stages of Rex Ryan, the back-to-back AFC title game appearances, and the playoff drought. I mean, there's been all kinds of dysfunction, mismanagement, things that have gone wrong, quarterbacks that have crashed and burned here, draft picks, guys from the outside, poor free agency decisions, GMs that were showing some level of levels of incompetence that we've, you know, not really seen a whole lot throughout the league. So it's a lengthy list. When you start to talk about it, quite honestly, it becomes overwhelming and you start to even feel a little anxiety. And that's coming from a guy who's not a Jet fan. So I can't imagine how the lifelong fan actually feels about what's going on and where they go moving forward.
And obviously, since we're in New York, it's heavy on the Jets and the Giants, but there's a lot of dysfunction around the league,
sure,
within a lot of organizations. You know, the Browns or another one that we could spend a long time on. Even the Bears, even though it seems like they might be going in the right direction with their quarterback because statistically he's been okay. Boy, he makes a lot of mistakes, and they're a mess too at the head coach because they don't have one right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I look at them, and you saw it again last night at towards the end of that game, and I know we'll get into it in more detail a little bit later on, but similar to the Jets where Ulbrich has seemed overwhelmed, yep, at times. I mean, they fire the coach and they take the offensive coordinator and just thrust him into this position where
what he's doing.
All of a sudden there's a lot more on his plate.
Yeah.
And you see, it becomes...
And the game comes quick at you.
Yes, it becomes exposed in those big moments late in the game, game on the line. It's, you know, down in distance, clock management, strategy, approach with a rookie quarterback out on the field. I mean, there, you can see where things could easily slip through the cracks.
All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. Pat Boyle joins us for his first report of the morning. 888-808-1019 is the number to join. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, great to have you with us, 627. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, coming to live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Pat Boyle is, and you know, one thing I did fail to mention yesterday, I know we had some fun with, you know, the whole anchoring thing. I thought your Christmas Eve show was very good. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I did hear several segments. Your Mike Florio interview was fun. He was a little, I thought he hit the eggnog a little bit before he came on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he had a busy day, Jerry.
He was quite biting. Yeah, I know. But yeah. I thought your interview with him was very good. And I thought you had some good segments. You did a nice job.
Thank you, Jerry. I
know you're very
that.
Excited about that that afternoon show. It was
yes.
great.
Yes, first one. Thank you very much. I appreciated your text, which
yeah.
I didn't get back to you until the day after. But
that doesn't, it was a holiday. All good.
Yeah.
Not
there's,
a problem.
There's certain times where I'll see the notifications and I'm like, now I feel bad. Now that I'm saying it out loud.
I wouldn't worry about it.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, I just purposely didn't answer. No,
we all have
to
unplug sometimes, you know, get away from it. It gets the phone just when it was firing away and they're coming in left and right. You just sometimes got to kick it to the side and I'll circle back to it later.
And it's more so I wanted to give a thoughtful answer to you rather than just say thanks.
That's great.
No,
so,
and
thank you for the compliments. The Florio interview I did think was good. He was a little riled up at the end and then he gets into it with Schefter, so I'd like to think maybe I gave him the little bit of juice
maybe,
to get him
yeah,
going.
That's where
know.
It came from. Okay.
Maybe next time he'll mention that in his article on yeah. Pro Football Talk. Pat Boyle riled me up, so now I'm going to get into it with Schefter.
I would get nuts. But it was very, very well done. Anyway, you are here with an update. I am very excited. This is the problem. I want the Nets to lose, and they win a big game in Milwaukee last night with all the details. Pat Boyle.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to it. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. I have to separate hosting from anchoring, so. After two duds, MVP contention, so.
Damn.
Imagine if you bet Luka Doncic to win MVP. You get nothing. NHL back tonight after a mini three-day vacation. Devils the only local team in action. They're back at the Rock to play the Hurricanes. College football, three bowl games yesterday. Rutgers lost to Kansas State in the Rape Bowl.
Got any
Phoenix.
Carlin for us?
I don't
you
yet.
Could, you could pull it up if you want it right now in the college
you want it right,
folder.
You want it right now?
Well, it was on our air. It was yeah. actually, not that I watched a lot of it, but if you like scoring, this was a fun game to watch.
And they were, they what, blew a 17-point
they
lead?
They were up 34-17.
What do you think is the best name that he says? Antoine Raymond or Jashawn Benjamin?
That one.
Let's go with that one.
Yeah.
They'll go with Trips right, third and goal from the 7. Benjamin back in to the left of Kelly McManus. Ethan takes a snap. Pressure coming. Floats it out to the right. Wide open is Benjamin, who trucks in for the Rutgers touchdown. Jashawn Benjamin has got one rushing and now one receiving. In the-
All right. Rutgers lost 44.
Hard edit there at the end.
No, I think
that's
he'd
not
stop.
On Pat, but
no, I cut the clip.
He'd stop.
Oh,
I cut the clip.
So it is on Pat then?
Yes. Yeah. You want him to hear, give the score for the score that wasn't the final score?
Just, you know, let it naturally
They had a
finish,
17-point lead midway through the third quarter, 12-point lead midway through the fourth. They lost to Kansas State anyway, 44-41. So they finished 7-6 on the year for the second straight season.
Untouched here. So I'm watching on CBS Sports Network.
Almost got a finger on him.
Nice little cut there at the end.
Oh, yeah, right there.
Get a, yeah. These guys love to, not just Rutgers, even in the NFL, these defensive backs.
They don't
tackle high. You're not going to bring anyone down going for the shoulder pads. It ain't happening, man.
5 years of Greg Schiano since he came back. They're 26-34. Elsewhere, Toledo beat Pitt 48-46 in a record 6 OTs in a bowl game in the a game above Sports Bowl. Arkansas State beat Bowling Green 38-31 in the 68 Ventures Bowl. But you guys were talking about Deion Sanders and the 23rd-ranked Colorado Buffaloes playing number 17 BYU tomorrow in the Alamo Bowl. Here's Coach Prime telling his team, no smoking dope in the team hotel.
I smell smoke on any, last but not least, if I smell smoke on any floor, or if I get somebody that tells me somebody smoking on that floor, that will be your last puff. I'm just trying to tell you, this will be your last puff. That's going to be your last puff. I hope it was good, because that's going to be your last run. I promise you, if I smell smoke on your clothes at practice in the morning or at breakfast or anything, that's going to be your last time. I promise you, you would not embarrass us. When the last time? Who's been here? Where's the OBs at? Where's the OBs? When last time y'all been in a bowl game?
Stop talking.
Yeah.
See, Jerry, I noticed what happens. I put the raw in. I thought he would like trim it down.
But yeah, apparently not.
Playing it out of the.
Usually you would have cut that into a couple of pieces, but that was good though.
I didn't want it to ramble on because I just threw the raw in there. Yeah.
I do, and I believe him. I think if he, unless it's his son, I do think if he smells something, you're gone.
Yeah.
Well, try me. We'll see. And by the way, he shaved the beard. He looks like he's 30.
Yeah.
He looks tremendous.
Yeah, and at the end there, it was kind of tough to hear. He was talking, I think, to the, I don't know if they're seniors, but the upperclassmen, the guys that have been with them, and the point was delivering the message to the newer guys, like, hey, those of you who've been here, you know, you haven't had this opportunity, you're not going to let some knucklehead come in and screw things up for us because you're, you know, you can't be responsible here in the hotel. So his message helps, but when you've got the veteran players on the team as the guys that are delivering that and enforcing it as well, I think that carries a little bit more weight.
How many of them do you think went and smoked a clip after that anyway?
None. I don't.
Maybe in the parking lot, not in the actual hotel.
That's different, but not in the hotel.
Yeah.
Good job, Pat. We'll see you next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, the guys are off. This song taking me back to my childhood. Work here on a Friday morning.
Sorry to interrupt. I got excited. This is a jam from the... my early years of my dad throwing on records on like a Saturday morning in Queens.
I had this 33.
Okay.
You remember did you have the 45s and the 30? Do you remember those?
I mean, I don't. My dad has a massive record collection.
So you never had
personally,
right?
No.
I had cassettes and then
CDs. I never owned a record myself.
See, I was too young for the 8-track tape, which my sister had.
Yeah.
I had the albums, though, the 33s, the 45s, and the record player, which was one of my first big gifts as a kid.
Nice. Have you gotten back in, you know, vinyls kind of back? No. All right.
No. There is so much crap in our house. The last thing I want to do is add more crap to the house.
Understood.
We've got this really cool thing. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe not. It's called Spotify.
Yes,
and these Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah, no, I know how it works.
As cool as the albums are, I'm kind of good.
All right,
I have not gotten into it. Coming up later in the show at 9 o'clock, Janae Coakley from SNY, who's been in the Jet locker room all season long. We will talk to her coming up next hour. Probably the last segment of the next hour. We're going to do since we are working our way towards top 2025. Good Lord, which is Wednesday. Today, Monday, and Tuesday, I'm going to run back what I deemed the top 15 moments of the day from the Boomer and Geo program.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, so I got 5 set for today. We'll have 5 on Monday and 5 on Tuesday, which will take us into 2025. Of course, on Wednesday, it is their show, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to kind of bring back their voices for a segment each day.
And we will be here on New Year's Day, Jerry.
We will.
I'm looking forward to that.
This is true. How we doing?
I can't wait.
real quick, so... last night, Yesterday, even with Pat Boyle, we were talking about, you know, all the leftovers and all the food at the end of the year, which is why a lot of people wait till after January 1st to start trying to be a little bit better.
Sure.
So yesterday, I had a relatively good eating day. But then, whatever, it was like 5 o'clock, 5:30. I saw that there were flying sauce, you know, the ice cream saucers Carvel in the freezer from Christmas Eve.
I'm like, with the sprinkles or without?
Without.
Okay.
So I'm like, I shouldn't. I'm like, but you know what? I ate nothing today. Screw it. I literally ate nothing yesterday. So I'm like, I'm going to eat this, this ice cream. So I sit down and I go to YouTube. And of course, the previous thing that I was watching pops up, which is from a channel called Diary of a CEO. And the guy does a great job interviewing all these different people from all different walks of life. The one I was watching, though, was from a doctor on cancers. And his take on cancer is it's basically... it's all about sleep. It's all about nutrition and eating like crap.
Great.
And the first thing I hear as I hit play is I'm, you know, shoving an ice cream saucer in my face.
Bastard.
No, is he's talking about processed foods and all this crap we eat going in. And I'm like, a little hypocritical as I'm watching this and trying to learn and understand more and more about healthy eating.
Was this doctor named Al Dukes?
No.
Processed foods, yeah. Well,
which we know, but it was just funny that it was literally the first thing out of his mouth as I started eating the ice cream, which I knew I shouldn't be eating. But
now, with the first thing out of his mouth, had you already taken the first bite of the flying saucer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So there was really no opportunity to say, you know what? Let me just tuck that right back into the freezer.
Once
for
that comes
time,
out,
that's it.
That's so going in.
Yep.
Those are too good to pass up. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of funny after our conversation yesterday. When we come back, so we're going to hit, we've done a lot on the Giants, obviously, this hour. There's some things going on around the league that I find very interesting in terms of head coaching possibilities, teams that don't have vacancies, but likely will. And also more on the Jets from this standpoint. I touched on the Jets being this big puzzle piece. And you said something following that said, you know, the Jets are complicated because they do have a lot of good players currently on their roster. But you also expected if this thing with Aaron Rodgers didn't work, that it would completely blow up. And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said, though, is the exact reason why I feel like the Jets are so much more complex. Personnel-wise, they're in a better spot than the Giants.
Oh, without a doubt. As far as guys that they have under contract, yeah.
Yes, but when you look at everything surrounding them, it makes them more complex than the Giants because of the owner throwing him into the mix on what seems to be like every decision. The fact that they don't have a GM, the fact that they don't have a head coach right now, the fact that they've got a quarterback that doesn't know if he's coming back, don't know if he should be back, don't know if he wants to be back.
Mm-hmm.
You've got good players that have underperformed, haven't played as well as they should have. You had a good defensive guy become the interim head coach, completely implode in front of our eyes. Like when you think about the good players they have on paper, you're right. They've got a lot of good players.
Of course. That's why.
Man, what a mess it is.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people even on this radio station that have had to fall on the sword and come to grips with the fact that they incorrectly predicted not only with the Jets go to the playoffs, but go to the Super Bowl. I know Malusis the last couple of days has been saying, you know, egg on my face. I thought the Jets were going to not only get to the Super Bowl, but win it. You don't make those predictions if the roster's bereft of talent. So that's never been the problem. And that's what makes this one. And again, I didn't believe that they were going to get to even out of the AFC. But I certainly did not foresee what has come to pass this year.
I did not think
they were going to be this bad.
I also didn't think them missing the playoffs was on the table.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Let alone
I figured they'd at least be at this stage right in the mix for maybe similar to like 2015 where they had to go to Buffalo week 17 it was at the time and win a game against the Bills to get in. They didn't, but it came down to that final game. And I mean, this has been dead. They've been a dead team walking for more than half the season now.
Yeah. I mean, and you think about some of the games that they've lost, it really is head scratching. And I know we've talked about it every week.
I know multiple kickers have cost them, but like even if you look at the teams that they've beaten, like, it's just nothing.
It's nothing.
It's very hard to figure.
Yep.
It really is.
They get to go to Buffalo and change our minds this weekend.
wouldn't that be typical?
They
go up there and they
for the course.
Hang 35 on the Bills and walk out of there with a win. I mean,
and we'll all be thinking what could have been.
I guess.
I suppose. Yeah. All right, more on the Jets coming up, more around the league too, and that mess last night of a game in Chicago. We will also get to Pete Alonso. I want to talk about him as well.
Yeah, we never did that yesterday, so plenty of time for us to do that today.
We will get to that. We've got all that and more. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.